If you have your Bible with you, can you turn with me to Romans chapter 12? You might remember that last week I gave my testimony and I started talking about giftings. And there's three major groups of giftings in the Bible. Today I'm going to share primarily out of Romans chapter 12. But just so that you have the reference to this, I just want to reread a couple of things I shared last week. Just so that you know the totality of giftings, or at least a good idea of the giftings in the New Testament. So one of the things that I've found over the many years of being a pastor is that a lot of Christians have no idea what their main giftings are, which just shocks me. Christians that have been in church for years don't know what their main giftings are. And if they do know what their gifting, then my next question is how do you use it? And if they did know the gifting, there's a whole more, another big group that have no idea how to use it or how to be successful and use it. So today, after I get done sharing, hopefully, I'm gonna pass out these tests at the end. I would do it now, but you guys will take the test while I'm talking because you're just like me. Anytime someone hands me something and says, now don't read that until I tell you to, of course I start reading it. So at the close today, I'll give you that test. Hopefully, by the time you get that test and you take it home, you take the test, you'll understand how to take it. You can come up here and preach with me, man. Runaway kid. That's all right. I'm pretty sure I was the guy up here thanking God for babies, so there you go. But hopefully you'll understand how to take the test, you'll be able to take the test, and you'll be encouraged because it'll show clearly what your main gift is, what your secondary gift is, and how to start using it more effectively so you can be more fruitful. Because when we're fruitful, man, that's where contentedness comes in, value comes in. The stuff that the devil can't even duplicate, let alone create, God gives us. And we know that stuff by knowing our gifting, how He's hardwired us, how He's built us. So I just want to start out by doing a little bit of review. There's three main types of giftings in the New Testament. Number one is the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to His body. That changes according to the whim of the Holy Ghost. Really does. So the Holy Spirit could move through any one of us with any one of His gifts anytime He wants. They're the Holy Spirit giftings. I'll read them. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to read a few verses just so you have an idea of the gifts I'm talking about. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So anytime there's more than one Christian that comes together, two or more Christians, the Holy Spirit can move in these. You don't have to be in a church building, right? You can be at lunch with another Christian and the Holy Spirit give you a word for that person. You can be at lunch with another person and you say, man, my shoulder is really sore. And the Holy Spirit moves your friend, just lay hands on you, pray for your shoulder. Any kind of miracle can happen as long as there's two Christians together. That's the only prerequisite you need for the Holy Spirit giftings. Second type of gift is really different from those gifts. Though the Holy Spirit gifts just kind of happen anytime two of us are gathered, two or more are gathered, the Holy Spirit comes in and does supernatural, miraculous stuff, surprises with the goodness. The other type of gift is E4, or in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it lists out the gifts that Jesus Christ Himself gave to His body. These gifts are for two reasons: to equip us to do the ministry and to bring us to maturity. Boy, do we need both of these things right now, like never before. If you go home and Google, you come up with your phrase, but just Google something about different types of churches or new churches or new doctrines or current popular churches. You do your own Google search and see what you come up with. And the stuff that's out there now that people are counting, they're betting their eternity on. We need to be brought into maturity so that our faith is based on the Word of God, on the doctrine of God, and not on what some pastor likes or what some pastor don't like or the Book of the Month Club, stuff like that. Listen to how it says in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, talking about Jesus. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. I encourage you to read both those chapters in the entirety. You'll see what I'm talking about and kind of where I'm coming from, where I'm going. And later on, I'm going to preach about these giftings. But today, I want to focus on the third type of gifting. Because these two, the one is the Holy Ghost moves when he wants, where he wants, and who he wants. The other one is these E4 giftings that God literally gives to the global church to come in and intentionally teach, or, you know, to teach teaching or to teach prophecy or to teach the different things for the wholeness of the body. So one, the Holy Ghost moves. The other one's super intentional church-wide for bodies of believers. The third one is for each one of us individually. These are the personal gifts. These are the things that make Mike different from everyone else here. The gifts that make Tammy different than everyone else here. These are the giftings you are hardwired with, you were born with. And I don't care if you're a stone-cold atheist out there that is a true blue God hater, he was or she was created with these gifts. They were hardwired with God's gifts even if they hate God's guts, literally. So let's look at these giftings. So they're found in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Wow, look at that. Huh? You proud of me, Matt? I got it to work right. It's really complicated. You have to turn it on and then push the button to go forward. You'd be surprised how many times I've messed that up. So Romans 12, verses 6, 7, and 8 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, well, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. And he who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Today I'm going to show you how you can know which one of these God's given you and how to be fruitful in sharing it. The many books and resources I've studied over the years and looked up and listened to on the internet, it seems like the primary thing is to find out what our gifting is and then to almost show off with that gifting. And I don't think that's what Paul intended. I think Paul wants us to know who we are in Christ. I think Paul wants us all to know very well how we're hardwired and how to use the gifts that God gave us. He wants us to be giving those gifts away. A gift is worthless if you don't give it away, right? Can you imagine having a closet full of Christmas presents sitting at home yet? And someone says, what are you doing with these? Well, I don't know. Wait, didn't you mean to give those out last year? No, I don't know. Well, are you giving away next year? Well, I don't know. Dude, you got gifts, you wrapped them up, you intentionally bought these things, you must have somebody in mind for them, they're wrapped and ready to go, you're not going to give them? Well, maybe. Right? Wouldn't we think that's crazy? Well, let's think like that for us and for each other. Because you guys all have gifts that God gave you. They're wrapped up in that earth suit. But those gifts are in you, and I want to encourage you to give those gifts out. Would you encourage me to give my gifts out? Because together we can do some great things. So we've got these gifts. They're in this package. But before verses 6, 7, and 8, Paul spends 5 verses talking about a heart condition to give these gifts out. And then the end of the chapter where we're going to close today, he spends like 11 more verses talking about a heart condition of how to give these gifts away. And in the middle of this chapter, there's just 3 little verses that talk about these gifts. And like I say, probably 98-99% of what I've seen about giftings concentrated in these 3 verses. I think if that was the case, what Paul was after and what the Holy Spirit was after when he motivated Paul to write these, I think we would have had 17 verses talking about gifts and 3 verses talking about heart condition. It's the opposite. So let's look at some of these heart condition verses that Paul puts in. He starts out the preface for all the giftings, using your gifts, knowing your gifts, giving your gifts, starts out with this. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or clearly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ individually and members of one another. So these two verses, verses 1 through 4, highlight the idea that God has given us these gifts, but more than that, I love how it starts out. Verses 1 and 2 are some of my favorite verses in all the Bible. How he starts out and says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And that word beseech, I don't think any of us use the word beseech this week, right? Or this month or this year. Probably won't use it the rest of the year. It's almost an outdated word. But that word literally means like to encourage, to exhort while you're yelling. So it's not just, you know, he's not just saying, hey, I suggest you guys then that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's like, come on, I'm begging you guys. I'm begging you guys. Before I get to the gifts, before I get to what God's called you to do, before you try to figure out all that stuff, listen to this. I'm begging you. Would you please present yourselves a living sacrifice to God? You know, to us 2020 Americans, a living sacrifice, yeah, that's kind of a Bible term. I get it. I've heard it before. But we don't really get it to the magnitude that this crowd would have got it. The crowd that Paul was talking to would have all been a bunch of Israelite Jewish people. They would have been raised just like their parents and grandparents and on and on and on and on, all the way back to Moses, where when you sinned, you had to bring a living sacrifice to the temple. And then the temple priests would kill that thing because you sinned. They drain the blood, and they would burn some of the parts of that animal because you sinned. So in their mind, taking a living sacrifice to God meant you had sinned and something has to die for your sin. So now take this sacrifice, we're going to kill it, we're going to cover your sin. Jesus was our sacrifice forever. Jesus literally died for you and me, right? I know it's a gruesome thing, you see it in the movies, it's a gruesome thing. But now on this side, where the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, went to the cross, died for you and me, and rose on the third day as proof that it's been paid for, that's an awesome thing. So when I see little phrases like, I'm begging you guys to just focus on this thing, on the mercies of God. To me, the definition of mercies of God is Jesus. Right? I mean, he's been merciful to me in so many different ways, but all of God's mercies come to me and come to you through the doorway that has Jesus over it. Without Jesus, you know what we all deserve. We all deserve eternity in hell. That's what we deserve, right? Thank God we don't get what we deserve. Because of mercy and because of grace, we get what Jesus earned for us. Jesus went to the cross, died a horrible death, rose from the dead, so now I have total confidence. He's saying, come on, I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you guys. Begging you. Come on, let's go to God as living sacrifices and present our bodies to him. Lord, I just want to be used today. You know the crazy thing about a living sacrifice? You know, in the temple, if you brought a little lamb in here and the temple priest brings him up here and probably one priest holds him, the other guy holds his head, the guy holds his body, and the other one cuts his neck. I bet this thing's kicking around, right? I don't think it was as neat as we kind of think about it. Anybody ever went to like a butcher shop where they're literally killing the animals? How many hunters we got here that have killed something and gutted it? It's messy, ain't it? How about people just caught a fish and gutted it? It's messy. They don't just lay there and go, okay, yeah, go ahead and kill me and I'll hold still while you gut me. Right? They want to live. So imagine they're killing this thing and it's kicking around and blood squirting all over. It's a nasty, messy thing. It's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to bother us that something else has to die for us. And then Jesus comes and changes all that stuff. So now here I am, born again. Got the gifts and abilities that God's given me. Paul's saying, come on, let's get our supernatural thinking caps on here. By the mercies of God, I'm begging you, present your body a living sacrifice. You don't have to die. You don't have to die. You can be a living sacrifice. You know the tricky thing about a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice, when you put a living sacrifice up on the altar, it'll just run away. If there's lamb guts all over and sheep blood all over, and you bring another lamb up here, guess what? This thing was smelling it way down here. By the time it gets up here, it just wants to get out of there, right? How about us? How about us after you've had a bad week? You get up in the morning, you know what? I used to get in the Bible, but you know what? This last week has just been so horrible. I'm just not going to do it. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself a living sacrifice. Okay, I know I want to run from that altar, but let me just get up here. Okay, Lord, yep, I give you this day. I give you my time. I give you my energy. I give you my resources. I just present myself a living sacrifice, Lord. Use me today any way you want. That was what Paul's talking about as he starts talking about the gifts. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. Wow. He tells us, then he goes on, look at this. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I've never ever met a Christian that doesn't want to know God's will for their life. Never met one. All of us want to know God's will for our life. You know how we do that? Paul just said it. One simple thing. Renew your mind that you can prove what is the good, perfect, how do you say it? That we can know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, I was in Tool and Die for many, many years, and we conformed a lot of steel. In Tool and Die, the die is in this huge press. Sometimes these presses are hundreds of tons. So you could picture the equivalent of stacking like 200 cars up. That's the weight that's coming down and hitting the steel as we feed sheet metal in through this thing. And when it comes down, it hits it, and it takes something that's flat. And if this is what the shape in the die is, this comes through, and it conforms it to look like that. Paul's saying, don't be shaped by the world. You know we're getting shaped by the world all the time, right? There's two things that are shaping us right now. God's word and everything else. Do you ever think of it that way? I think we think more in terms of there's lots of gray area. So we all know that the best is God's word, and I'm in the word sometimes, and that's good. And then the worst is some of this horrible stuff that none of us ever look at or ever watch or ever go and see. And then in the middle is a bunch of this stuff that's, it's just whatever your opinion is, and you just try to be careful how you think and how much you let in. And can I just tell you that there's this and there's everything else. And Paul says just be really careful because the world wants to do this to you. It wants to shape you. It wants to conform you so that abortion really isn't that bad, especially if you're in a tough spot. You know, sometimes you're just not ready for kids. So it's okay to kill babies. That's what the world tells us. Besides, it's a woman's right. It's her body. If it's her body, why does the baby have a different DNA? Did you ever think about that? Only when they're using the word abortion can you kill another person that has a different DNA than you and get away with it. Every other instance, it's called murder. If we don't keep our minds in the Bible and what the truth is, we can be conformed and shaped by the world to start thinking, you know what? sometimes it's okay to just get rid of a bunch of cells. It's just a mass of cells. Just flush it. It's not a big deal. It's not a person yet. Wrong thinking. There's so many things I could go on right now talking about how the world is shaping us. How about debt? We don't talk about debt much. We talk about abortion way more than debt. I bet if we had a raise of hands right now, how many people are in debt and have been in debt for more than 5 years? I think there'd be quite a few hands going up here. Do you know the Bible calls us to live debt-free? And to go in exorbitant debt is actually sin. Wow. If I preach that too often, I'll probably empty this building. Right? Because in America, of course you have to go into debt. How could you possibly live in America without debt? You can't get a house. You can't get a good car. You can't get no education. Right? That's what the Bible, or not the Bible, that's what the world's constantly trying to tell us. Well, I happen to know for a fact that you can do all of those things debt-free. And even with a house, you can buy a house, so at any given time you can sell that thing and come out of debt. It's a proven fact. So anyways, so Paul's saying, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. And the only way we can transform our thinking to go from carnal, normal human thinking to godly thinking is if we're reading how God thinks. Because this isn't just a set of rules. There are rules in here. I'm not going to try to change that one bit. But this is guidance in how we can be transformed to live our lives for God. There's no way we can live a life pleasing to God if we don't transform our thinking. How do we expect to know God if we're not going to read the Bible? Right? We have to get the Word. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to get on my little tower here and make some big point. You guys know I love the Word. And me being my main gifting is teaching. So I'm always going to bring people back to the Word. But Paul says if you want to be transformed, then we have to do it by renewing our minds by getting in the Word. He then follows that up with being a living sacrifice, transforming our thinking by being in the Word, to the real thing, the crux of whether you're going to be Christ-like or if you're going to be worldly-like. And he says, just make sure that you stay humble. Because you know what's going to happen? After you take this test, I can almost guarantee this. After you take this test, after you start making it a habit of presenting yourself a living sacrifice, after you start getting in the Word and seeing some of the promises, and you pray those promises out, and you start operating in your gifting, expecting stuff to happen, I guarantee you, you'll get confident in flowing in that gift. I guarantee it. There's nothing you can imagine or come up with right now to give my wife that needs organizing that she won't go, hot diggity, get out of the way, let me at it. I'm telling you, you know what? We had a bunch of her sisters and brother over at our house yesterday. It was hilarious. We learned something. They were all laughing about her. No, I'm sorry. They're laughing with her. Even when she was a little kid, she used to organize her drawers in her dresser. As a little kid, they can all remember this. She was so little, she doesn't even remember doing it. But that's how she's always been hardwired. Hey, Owen, you want to come up here? Do we got any toys or anything that might be able to help him? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, there's a parent room available if you guys want it. But so I just want to encourage you with this. You will get good at your gift. You will. Once you know how you're hardwired and you know how to apply that gift. And then the thing that happens when we're really good at something and we know we're really good at something, a lot of times we can get an ego. And so that's why Paul follows this up and he says, now hold on a second. I just want to make sure you guys all think of yourselves soberly. Think clearly of yourselves and don't get some big head, because you're going to be fruitful and I'll guarantee you good things are going to happen. So then look what he says, verse 5, right there. Is that right? No, let's go down to 6. There we go. That's it. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, well, let us use it in ministering. That word also could be service. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, which, again, we don't use that term too much. It means encouragement on steroids, is the best I could say. Because it's more than just encouraging someone. It's like, you know, when you want to encourage someone, you kind of sit next to them, you go, hey, I think you can do this. You can probably do this thing. Have you tried doing it? Oh, okay, that's good. An exhorter is going to go, no, I know you can do this. Come on, get up. Come on, get up. Come on, I see you doing this thing. Because I know when you do this, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. So let's do this thing. An exhorter will help you go somewhere that you would never go by yourself. The gift of encouragement, the gift of exhorting is so desperately needed in the body of Christ. Because most of us have people in our lives that will tell us, you're never going to be able to do that. You're not smart enough for that. You're not mature enough for that. You're not fill in the blank to be able to do that. We need exhorters to come by and go, oh, no, you absolutely can do that. I've seen you, because when you talk to that person, you did this, that was your gift. So go for it, man. I'm with you. You can do this thing. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. Now, you know what? I know as Christians, we all love to give. That's something that we look like our dads, right? Our dad loves giving. Our father loves giving so much, he gave his only begotten son. So if you're his son, if you're one of his sons, you're going to like giving. It's just how we are. It's a family trait. But this gift is a whole nother thing. People with this gift, you'll hear stories of them giving hundreds of dollars away, giving all kinds of things away, giving cars away. And I'm not talking about millionaires. I'm talking about people just like us. People sitting here right here have that gift. I'm not going to point them out because guess what? Sometimes the line forms when you know they're a giver. But I've seen amazing things with this gifting. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness and he who leads with diligence. So how's this all work then? Well, on this test, and again, I'm not going to pass these tests out until the close of service. This is going to be your homework this week, to take this test home and fill it out and then come back next week. Because next week, I'm going to go in depth in each one of the giftings, how they think, how they operate, what you can expect from them, the strengths and the weaknesses. Because for every strength, there's a weakness. And if we're going to do this right together, we've got to be aware that if someone has a super strong gift, I'll use myself. If you've got a super strong gift of teaching, you might be a little light in the gift of mercy. My wife laughed a little bit. Because if I'm not careful, my teaching gift will come to a person that's hurting, and I'll say, well, this is what's wrong with you. It's like a doctor with really bad bedside manner, right? Guess what, sir? You have high blood pressure because you're overweight. So quit eating like a fat hog and start exercising. When you drop 30 pounds, come back and see me. Wow. That'd be pretty harsh, wouldn't it? A mercy gift's going to sit down and go, oh, you know what? I can see you're really struggling. Let's have some cake and let's talk about some options. So we need balance. So that collectively, together, we can all come to maturity and fruitfulness. So I'm going to pass out these tests at the end. And as you can see, I put the first five questions. Those are literally the first five questions right here off this page. So the first one says, I like to think of ways to help others who are suffering physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, some of you just were like, yeah, I love doing that. So in your mind, you would say, well, that's me. I usually think like that. Other ones are going to think, well, yeah, okay, sometimes. So sometimes that's true. Some people are going to think, yeah, okay, maybe once in a while. And there's going to be other people that go, absolutely not. If you need help and you're going to do all that whining and stuff, go talk to somebody else. I don't have time for all that. There's people that think like that. I'm serious. Number two says, I enjoy spending time in intense study and research of the Bible. Guilty as charged. I can spend a half hour on just one word out of one scripture, let alone if I'm doing a topical study. Oh, I could chew up 4 or 5 hours just on one single topic. No problem. No problem. Now, other people would be like, oh, my aching back. I did my reading this morning. Do I have to open another book? Please say no. So again, it comes down to the four things. Is it usually true? Is it sometimes true? Is it seldomly true? Or is it rarely true? Here's another question. Question three. I feel people should say what they mean and mean what they say about God's truth, even though it may hurt the feelings of listeners. Now, there's some people at gunpoint, they will not tell you the truth because it might hurt your feelings. No matter what, the most important thing to them is that you feel good. So they would never tell you the truth, even though it might help you. Even though it might set you free, they would not tell you because they don't want to see your feelings hurt. They just want you to be happy. Other people, if you take someone that's a teacher and a prophetic gifting, they will slice you. You have an infection, that arm has to come off. That's how they think. That's how they're hardwired. We need both. We need both in the body of Christ. How about question number four? I give more than the biblical tithe to the Lord's work. Is that often? Is that usually true? Sometimes true? Seldom true? Or rarely true? How about number five? I enjoy doing small tasks that need to be done without being asked to do them. There's a lot of people here that flow in that gift. So those are just the five first questions. There's 70 questions. When you take this whole test, you'll find that from start to finish, there's 70 questions. All 70 of those questions are going to target seven major gifts. The gifts are the mercy gift, teaching gift, prophecy, giving, exhortation, serving, and leading. So after you take these tests, like, let's just use number one again. I like to think of ways to help others who are suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually. Is that usually true? Is that sometimes true? Is it seldom true or rarely true? Because your scorecard for each on the test, hopefully you can see this, the question is right here, and then that score area is right here. So if this is usually true, oops, come back, there we go. So if this is usually true, you would just mark right there. If it's rarely true, then you would just mark there. So you go through answering each question, and you just put a mark in whatever box that is. Is it usually, is it sometimes, is it seldom, or is it rarely? At the end, I don't know if you guys can see this or not, but at the end of the test, on the back page is this tabulation chart, and that's what that is. So if, on question number one, I like to think of ways to help others who are suffering physically, emotionally, or spiritually. If I mark that usually true on that first box, that's worth 5 points. So then I would come here and put 5 there. Question number two, I enjoy spending time in intense study and research of the Bible. If that's a seldom true, I marked an X on there, that's worth 1 point. Oops. Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. There we go. Coming back. There we go. Okay. So in number two, then I would put 1. So if it in any one of these boxes, you would have the mark from here where you answered the question, usually, sometimes, seldom, rarely, you just check the box, and then it's either worth 5, 3, 1, or 1. So after you take all the tests, you've answered all 70 of the questions, there's check marks here, then you transfer that number to these different individual squares. So you go right through, checking all 70 of your answers, you write down the numbers there. Once that's done, you've answered your questions, you've gone, you've seen, okay, that was a 1, put that 1 there, that was a 5, okay, put a 5 there. When you get all filled in, then you just add them up. Whatever these things are there, you add them all up, you write that number there. Whatever these things are, you add them all up, you write it right there, so on and so forth, all the way through. At that point, you can look down, and whichever one of these numbers are the highest, that's your main gifting. Whichever one is second highest, that's your secondary gifting. It's as simple as that. You just got to answer the questions, go through, check the boxes, transfer that number over to your tabulation chart, And then go, if you have any questions about this, please give me a call, shoot me a text, shoot me an email. I'd love to help you. That would be no problem at all. It's my, one of my great joys is to help people understand how God hardwired them and to show you what your gift is and how to use that gift for the body of Christ. Because the thing is, sometimes we come into church and we can think that it's a spectating sport. And church isn't a spectating sport. We need every single person functioning in their gifting as a living sacrifice if we're ever going to accomplish what God's called us to do in this area. You know, if in sports you have a quarterback, you have receivers, you got defensive linemen, offensive linemen, and all of them have different roles. And if some of them don't do what they're supposed to do, if everybody shows up and wants to be quarterback for the day, they're going to lose. If everybody shows up and wants to be lineman for the day, they're going to lose. Or in baseball, if everybody wants to be a pitcher and nobody wants to be an outfielder, the other team's only going to get home runs all day long, right? I don't care how good a pitcher, they're eventually going to knock it in the outfield and there's no one there. So at church, it's the same way. I think I'm doing what I'm called to do. Are you doing what you're called to do? Do you know what you're supposed to be doing? Do you know how to get better at it? Next week, so I'm trying to do this in step-by-step things so I don't get ahead of myself and you don't get ahead of me either. So next week, come in with your homework completed. Yes, this is church and you're getting homework. Wow. But you know what's awesome? Your church is providing for everyone that's here today a free gift test. And no one fails. That's a good point. Thank you, sweetie. She completes me, I'm telling you. We're not trying to get a perfect score. Please don't try to get a high score. All we're trying to identify is the highest number. Because someone that's really good at math might go, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So a perfect score, if I got 30, then I know I like to teach, so I'll just write 30. Please don't do that. Just answer it honestly. It'll take care of itself, and we're just trying to find a high number. We don't want any perfect numbers. We don't want a number better. And so, you scored 27. I only had 13. Because the lower the number, your main gift, the lower that number is, the more it just means you're more balanced. Because the higher your strong point is, I'll guarantee you, the lower your weakness is going to be. And so if you max out the one at 30, there's probably going to be another one in there that you score like 3 or 4 at. we which is fine, but we just want to find out what's my strength, how do I function in that strength. I want you to understand, if my strength is teaching, then how does a teacher gifting person, how do they get hurt or offended? How about a mercy gift? How does a mercy person, how do they get wore out? What exhausts them? How about a giver? If someone's a giver here and they're supernaturally giving, what are the things I can do to encourage them? And what are the things I can do that would discourage them? Because I want to make sure I'm only encouraging the rest of you to do what God's called you to do. So there's no perfect scores, no high points, none of that stuff. We're just trying to identify our strengths. So do your homework. Come back next week. And next week we'll go through this thing. We'll go through the tests a little bit more, a little bit more in depth. I'll talk about the different giftings a little bit more in depth. And then hopefully in the coming weeks, then we're going to go into those other gifts too. But once we're rooted and grounded who we are, and we're believing God to use us in our giftings, we're going to see amazing stuff happen here. Amazing stuff happen here. I really, truly, absolutely believe it. So with that, I'm going to start wrapping this up and closing. This is how Paul closes out the rest of this chapter. Listen to this. I brought it out of one of the more modern versions. So you guys probably don't have this version. So if you want, you can look it up later and read in your version. But just listen to this. This is how he closes out Romans, verses 9 through 21. This is amazing. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another. Never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Other versions would say a hypocrite. The word hypocrite literally means to put on a mask and then play a different part. Paul's saying, don't come in and put your church clothes on and put your church smile on and act like you're all churchy when maybe you're struggling. Let's come in and let's just be honest. He says, never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Ghost and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them, and eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Speak blessing, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. Celebrate with those who celebrate. Weep with those who grieve. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony, and be as mindful of another's worth as you are of your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you're too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Celebrate with those who celebrate, weep with those who grieve, live happily together in a spirit of harmony, and be as mindful of another's worth as you are of your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you're too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks. Somehow I copy these two verses. In any case, and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Never hold a grudge or even try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. Never hold a grudge. Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scripture says, if you don't take justice in your own hands, I will release justice for you, says the Lord. And if your enemy's hungry, buy him lunch. Win him over with kindness. For your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. So I encourage you to read this in your own versions today. This one really amplifies a few of the words that I was after by us being humble, us respecting, honoring each other, putting each other in front of each other. There's a lot of people here that are great examples of that. I won't put them on the spot, but we have many people here already living that way. So if you're new here or if you're not sure about some of this, ask some of the people who have been around for a while. There's people here that can teach this stuff because they're already living the stuff. It's not just me that can teach it. I'm quoting the Bible, but they're already living it in their lives. So could I have a couple of volunteers to pass out these gift tests for me, please? Thanks, guys. You know, I'll bet most people here, if you've been in the Lord for very long, you've taken this test. Can I just encourage everybody, take the test again? Many people here will say, I've taken several of these tests. I know exactly who I am. I know how I score and everything. I just want to encourage you, take the test again, because in the next week or two, for sure next week, but possibly for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be using these gifts and the tests and the lists to show us how to press more into God and to be more fruitful in what He's hardwired us to do. Awesome. Thank you, guys. So I'm going to close today with just a little bit different. I'm going to ask Hannah and Logan to come on up. Bring your gift tests with you if you got them. So the reason they've got theirs and they're already done is that me and Jeanette were out at their house last Wednesday. And what you guys don't know is they're actually starting a Bible study. They're going to host a Bible study out at their house. It's up a little bit north. In about Fruit Ridge and 3 Mile? 4 Mile. Cruge and Four Mile area. So they're going to host it. Me and Jeanette are going to go up there, and together we're going to do a Bible study. So again, I always like to start out with a gift test so that I can understand a little bit more how people are hardwired, and then I can encourage them in that. That's how I think as a teacher. So what were your main giftings?
Mine were exhortation, prophecy, and giving.
Awesome. What were yours?
Mine were prophecy, exhortation, and mercy.
Come on. That's awesome. So in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to have a prophetic group here. If the two hosting it both scored high in prophecy, I can expect some. And they're both encouragers. Wow. So they're going to be bringing the Word of God and encouraging us to live it. I'm excited about that. So the reason I called them up here is to see that. If new people can do it, we all can do it. Amen? And not only that, but I just want to pray a blessing on them as we start this new group before we ever meet together. They're going to be inviting their friends and coworkers and stuff like that. I just want to pray a blessing on their home. Obviously, they're young. They got a healthy baby boy. They got a lot going on. So I just want God's blessing before we ever try to do anything. Amen? Would you guys just bow your heads and agree with me in faith? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this young couple. Father, I thank you that they stand here before you doing what Paul encouraged all of us to do. He said, I beseech you, brothers, to submit yourself in a humble way to be a living sacrifice. So, Lord, together right now, all of us just join our faith with Hannah and with Lois, and we just ask your blessing upon them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, would you help them now to flow in these gifts? We see that this is how you built them, how you hardwired them. Now, Lord, I pray that through the power, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, that they would flow in these gifts, that first off, they would enjoy their gifting with you, Lord. They'd enjoy their gifting with each other, and that they would enjoy this gift in the people that choose to come to this group. And now we pray that this group would be just a showcase of salvation, that as people come to this group, they would be set free of habits and hang-ups and addictions, and, Lord, they'd be brought into total freedom and total wholeness. Would you please do that? Would you start with Hannah and Logan and bless them with freedom and wholeness? And then, Lord, as they invite people, as they pray for people, as they speak into people's lives, that we'd see your kingdom come right here on earth as it is in heaven. Would you please do this? In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome.
The more people, the better.
Yeah, the more people, the better.
Awesome.
This Wednesday's food dinner's on me, so.
At what time?
At 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
Or was it 5?
We talked about 5, but if you want 6, it's
five
good.
O'clock.
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Okay. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Cool. It's going to be a fun group. I'm excited about it. So you heard it. You guys are all invited. Dinner's on him, so cool. So with that, I'd like to just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I covered a lot of ground today, and we looked at a lot of different scriptures and had a couple of different illustrations. Lord, I just pray that today, that as we leave here, that as we take these tests, that you would help us to answer them honestly and accurately. And then, Lord, I just pray that you would fill us with faith and hope that we can move in these giftings and bring you glory and affect people's lives around us. Please give us a passion to serve people around us, to help people around us, to bring them into wholeness and freedom. Would you help us to do this, Lord? I bless your flock in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Thank you, God, for every precious life that's here today, Lord. Bless them. Your sons and daughters, bless their homes, bless their families, bless their finances, bless their health. Lord, I ask that you would cause them to prosper in everything they're putting their hands to. Just cause it to prosper now, Lord. Would you please do this? Make a distinction between your people that worship you and those around them that don't, that people can see what the favor of the Lord looks like in real and measurable ways. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great week.